Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And Mike Vrabel has taken the podium, so we'll send it over to Mike Vrabel's press conference now.
Good morning, afternoon, Mike. Mike, in making sure you give Will time to learn and grow in the field, what's that challenge of making sure you protect him and give him that time? And can you do some of that with scheme? Is it execution? Is it a combination?
Well, it's always a combination. I mean, you can max protect and, you know, make sure that, you know, you're accounting for guys in the box. And, I mean, on every play, right, there's four down, five down, there's an ID, plus one, minus one. And so in some of those protections, you know, you're building in, you know, quote-unquote double teams. And if people come, we talked about this the other day, that takes you out of your combinations. You have to have your eyes up and be ready to come off. You know, we're always trying to build a pocket, whether that's from behind the center, whether you move the launch spot, movement throws, quick game, you know, empty, you know, different things that we've built in that we've done here in the last couple of weeks, and you know, we'll continue to do.
Is cutting the field down with the rollout not worth it oftentimes in what you might gain in protection of moving a pocket?
Well, I think that there's always, you know, I don't think you want to do too much of it. I think that there's, you know, places to, you know, versus favorable looks or off coverage, or you feel like you may get a natural rub. You know, I think that we've always had that in the plan. I don't think that it's something that we do a lot of, but I think that there's, you know, if you can steal a couple yards and situationally, you know, I think it's favorable. It does give you a little bit of relief. And, you know, so I mean, how much or how little, I don't think it's going to be a major part of what we do, but I think you have to have the ability to roll out and, you know, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand. And yeah, sometimes there's only two guys over there.
With the way everything's happening so fast, you know, as far as the pressure getting there, we make a lot of fuss about it maybe negatively impacting Levis, but are there positives that could be gained from that, like maybe, you know, speeding up the process for him or anything like that in his development?
Well, I mean, you know, some plays have to develop, you know, so you're going to have to give time for some of these concepts to develop, and we'll continue to do that. We'll work on that. So, you know, you want to move the ball down the field, you're going to, again, we have to, you know, you got to hold up as teams add on, as those second-level players add on into the rush. You know, I think the less distance that you throw it, the quicker hitting ones, you know, then you don't have to hold up as long. But those have, you know, again, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not, versus different coverages. So however it happens, you know, you have to play quarterback, you have to understand the position, you have to understand, you know, when it's there, when to step up, you know, pocket presence and all those things. And, you know, we'll keep doing that.
You mentioned, I guess, a few different options at left tackle the other day. Have you decided on one?
Dylan will probably work there today. And then, you know, Jalen will to do some work there. And, you know, got, you know, 9 or 10 healthy O-linemen available here on the roster in the practice squad.
Is Brunskill will be back?
He may be, you know, limited today, and we'll see where he is at the end of the week.
Dylan benefit from a week maybe working there as opposed to maybe just being thrown in the middle of the game?
Well, I think we think practice is important. You know, so the more that he can do, you know, again, I get the versatility, but then I'm sure there's also something to, you know, being able to, you know, have some work there, you know, consistently and not just, you know, limited snaps. So, you know, that's where we'll be today. And, you know, if that changes, that could change throughout the week.
You're very familiar with AFC South teams. With Will's first time against the division opponent, how much can this team's familiarity, the coaching staff's familiarity with what you're going to face Sunday, help get Will ready?
Well, there's a lot of structure there to the defense as far as up front, you know, multiple fronts, multiple pressures, you know, some linebacker pressures, you know, the post safety, the zone, the, you know, the run the corners over. And again, every week is different. You know, we may see different looks, but this has been a defense that, you know, traditionally has kind of done what they've done, maybe had a few wrinkles against us. See how they play us coming Sunday, you know, maybe similar to how they tried to play us last year. Or, you know, again, you have to look and see what they've done the last couple weeks and think maybe that's something they'll do. We'll have to be prepared for that. And we'll just have to ultimately know who we're playing against, the scheme, the guys that, you know, we certainly have to be able to take care of and, you know, in the run game and then when we want to throw it.
Jacksonville was in a really similar situation last year as you guys are now at 3-6. Do you use examples like that when talking to the team or maybe your past experience with teams that have had?
Well, I think you always try to do that. I think what we're trying to focus on is improving and winning. And I think that's, you know, I think you could find a million examples of things that have happened, which, again, does make sure that, you know, anything that we want to do is in front of us and that it's possible. And, you know, we know how it goes in this league. You get going on a roll. You just have to play better, longer, more consistent.
More specifically, have you seen Jacksonville take the biggest jump from last year to this season?
I mean, yeah, Joe, I don't know if that's, you know, I mean, we're just trying to get ready for them. I'm not trying to evaluate their success. I mean, I know, you know, ask me about the players that they have or, you know, skilled players on offense, the impact players on defense. You know, I don't know, however they've chosen to do that, that's what they've done. I'm trying to get our guys ready for, you know, Allen and Walker and, you know, all the skill players and Ridley and Kirk and Ingram and taking a 3-yard pass, turning it 25 yards. Etienne, his skill set, you know, trying to make sure that when we rush, the quarterback doesn't run for any more than the 223 yards scrambling that he has and take care of the ball, leading the league in turnovers on defense. Does that help you, Joe? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Looking at Trevor Lawrence specifically, his growth, where have you seen him take several steps forward? How do you continue to put pressure on him?
Well, he gets the ball out of his hand. I think he, you know, knows where he wants to go, whether it's man or zone. And if it's not there, you know, teams have either gotten to him and affected him or he's been able to scramble. And, again, he's athletic. He can run. He's big. But, you know, they've done a good job of, you know, like I said, the boot game and getting the ball out of his hand and using his skill set. And you pressure the quarterback and hit him. That leads to turnovers. They do a good job hammering the ball. You know, a couple examples of guys that are close to going down. DBs are coming in there and hammering it out. So that'll be a huge focal point is our ability to be aggressive with the football in our hand, but not reckless and not swinging around. And then also guys getting to the football and protecting the guy with the ball and shielding guys and, you know, finishing on the pile if something does happen and the ball does pop out.
You evaluated the red zone offense this year. Has it been more missed opportunities down there, the plays not being made, or has it been more negative plays with penalties and sacks?
All the above. All the above. You know, and that's not to be anything other than factual. That's, you know, when you have an opportunity, you have to take advantage of it. We know that the windows are tight, things happen quick, mistakes lead to, you know, longer yardage situations, unforced errors, whatever it may be. So I'd say that there's a lot of issues. Unfortunately, we need to correct them quickly.
Does the context of the league matter to you? The red zone's been a harder place for everybody. Red zone offense is down, red zone defense is
Not quite sure what happened to the Mike Vrabel press conference feed, but we'll work on getting that back as soon as we possibly can. But it's a good question about the red zone offense. But to be completely honest, do we have it back?
You know, more guys in coverage that are able to, you know, spread the field and make it difficult. You know, that just, I think everybody understands how critical it is to once you get down there, that if you can force them to kick field goals, you know, that gives you a real chance in the end, you know. So I think probably, you know, that's what defenses are doing.
When it comes to winning on the road, how much of that is mental versus the execution that you've talked about?
Well, the mental, I mean, has to be part of the execution. You have to know your job. You have to be able to, you know, take the practices and take the walkthroughs and take the meetings. And ultimately, we have one test. We have one test on Sunday that we have to nail it. And there'll be mistakes, but we just can't have the repeated, you know, critical ones. So, you know, whether, you know, physically or mentally, it all goes into, you know, your performance. You have to have an idea of what the play is, what your job is, what your responsibility is, who you need to communicate with, what those details are, and then physically go execute.
You mentioned Ridley earlier. What specifically has he added to their offense?
Well, he's an excellent route runner. You know, he's an excellent route runner. He's got, you know, great catch radius. You know, he's athletic. So, seems like that always, you know, a lot of times he's open down the field. It just is a very good route runner and what they're trying to do with him.
What makes Josh Allen just the defender that he is? And obviously in a contract year, it doesn't matter. He's still going out there and doing his job, game in, game out.
I think this is a great, as players gotten better every year that he's been in the league, which is always impressive that they continue to improve. He's got great length. Good change of direction. Looks like very good instincts. He feels like when he can come under, when he needs to bend, he's got flexibility at the top of the pocket. You know, and he's willing. You know, he plays hard.
Get a chance at getting Sean back this week?
Probably be limited throughout the week, and then we'll see where he's at towards the end of the week.
How was Traylon Burks? How is he coming along?
He's still in protocol. Again, it's either in protocol or not, so don't want to get too far into that. He's still in protocol and won't not at the level to where he will practice today, if that helps. You know?
Yeah,
so the different category, yeah.
They trend toward being able to practice.
Yep, so no, though, he will not practice today. So still in the early stages of that.
Thank you. Dillard in the stage that we will practice in protocol or
anything else?
Anybody else not practicing?
No, I think we're okay. I mean, SMB will probably be limited. Brunny will probably be limited. Burks won't be out there. Dillard won't be out there. Gentry, quiet today, buddy. No, I'm finished.
Thank you, Mike.
Vrabel, always with the jokes.
No.
Psych. Psych. Wasn't going to answer it anyway. We'll hear from Will Levis here in just a couple of minutes before we get to Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow here in just about 15 minutes. To Paul's question about the red zone. Red zone numbers across the league are down. But to be completely honest, I don't know if I really care because this team's red zone offense has just been so bad. I don't care about the other 31 teams in the league.
I think it is important context, though. You have to take that into consideration. It doesn't mean you have to be satisfied with how your team is doing, but it's like we're talking about UC Soros. Save percentage overall is down. Mm-hmm. So his is down way more than it normally is, but the whole league, there are more goals being scored. I think that's a good parallel to what Paul is asking. Is if you look, offense is down in the NFL. There's a lot of lower scoring games than there have been. right? For a while, we've been talking about, wow, this modern football game, you can't hit anybody over the middle,
yeah,
and it's wide open, nobody can stop anybody. Well, defensive play has – some coordinators have figured some stuff out, and a lot of it is bend but don't break, right? A lot of it is, okay, we may not be able to just completely stuff you, but when the field shrinks – there's some things we can do, and the defenses are having success.
Holding more threes than sevens.
Yeah, but here is – there's two things operating here. One, I don't give a damn what the league is doing. Just like I tell my son, well, Dad, everybody else in the class, you know, got around a B, B minus. That was average.
I don't care
about everybody else's kid. I care about one kid in that classroom, and that's you. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what everybody else did, you know. Because the world don't care about what everybody else did. Care about what you did. I only care about what you did. So I don't care about the NFL and where they're at in regards to red zone efficiency. I only care about you and my team. That's it. Because I, as a receiver, can't walk into your office and say, Coach, man, the numbers are low with all the receivers across the board, man. So I'm basically... you know, on par.
These defenses sure
exactly.
are good.
They are good, Coach. I'm just on par. Coach going to look at me and say, I don't care about what everybody right. else. Yeah. We paid you to do a job, and you're not doing it.
I think you've got it. You're right. That has to be your attitude. It's got to be your attitude. But I think it is.
Because the Titans might be bringing down the league average themselves.
Exactly. Right. You're bringing down the league average.
Let's give you another example. The Sunday night game, Raiders-Jets. What the score at one point was 9-9 or 9-6. There was one touchdown score. Even Mike Tirico comes back from a break. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, I feel it. We might have a touchdown here. We might. And sure enough, but how did they score the touchdown? It was kind of the play wasn't there. Mm-hmm. It's a desperation throw, and the tight end, the Notre Dame guy, goes up and makes just a great individual catch. It's just a jump ball. But that's how tough it was for them to get in the end zone. So I do think it's legit to at least put out there in context that there's a lot of teams that struggle to score in the red zone.
I get what you're saying, Wade. Yeah. That's just a damn excuse. I can't.
I guess you know the play that the guy made.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, that's a great.
See the Titans are not making those plays.
But here,
right, that's where
because the Titans
it really helps
can't
the
catch
guy.
A football.
But here's the problem.
They don't have a go to guy that they can.
They do.
But they don't throw to him.
They don't throw to him in the red zone, and that's D-Hop. They have a go-to guy, a guy that has proven I can score in the red zone, but for whatever reason, they don't try to give him the football. I know you don't want to force it, and I know teams are sort of bracketing him once he's down there, but there are other top-flight receivers in this league that I know when I get in the red zone, okay, Jefferson, you ain't scoring, but you score anyway.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, you ain't scoring, but you score anyway. Travis Kelce, everybody knows Travis Kelce's getting the ball, but you score anyway. There has to be – they got to figure this out. And I think a lot of it, the root across the whole NFL, which I don't care about the whole NFL, I don't care about this team, is that we have devalued the running game. We all should have saw this coming. The run and shoot gave us a glimpse at, okay, if y'all want to go to this complete passing game, you're going to suffer when you have to run the football. Run and shoot teams, they had a hard time running the football inside the red zone because the field condensed.
Look at the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly. Same thing. The Titans, when were they at their best? When they were running, when they were committed to running the football with Derrick Henry in the red zone. Because what that do? Now you got to come up a little bit more. I'm going to play action to him. You're going to jump up. I'm going to hit that guy right behind you. Because of the offensive line woes, they can't do it. If the Titans had a run game inside the red zone, they would be a much better team. But they're strictly trying to pass to get into the red zone because they can't run the football.
And they used basically, to be, they I feel used like they to used to be football. A very good exactly. running team in the red zone. I feel like that.
They're one of the best red zone teams in the league last
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So and a lot of that was Derrick Henry. Like it doesn't sound like much, but when you can run it from the 9 to the 3
uh-huh.
or the 9 to the 4 on first down and do that much closer, that makes a big difference.
Exactly.
Right?
And they don't have that. They don't have the ability to consistently do that because of what's in front of them.
Will Levis just stepped up to the podium, so we'll send it over to Will Levis now.
you know, just give me confidence that I can go out there and operate, but obviously got to do a better job.
When you are out there, you are getting hit, there's sacks, pressures, et cetera. What is it about you that will allow you to continue to develop and not run into some of the issues other quarterbacks had from getting hit so much
earlier? Just keeping your wits about you, you know, just staying within the game plan. You know, you can't let some of those factors determine, like, how you're going to think about a player, your process. Obviously, there's some times where there are answers that you can kind of turn to if there is a pressure, whether we're not picking it up or it's coming a little faster. So just keeping your wits about you and keeping and instilling confidence in those guys up front. Because
do you feel some of the things that you went through at Kentucky, right, you know, the turf toe, the shoulder, the middle finger, all that, do you feel that kind of prepared you for what you're going through?
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to be easy in this game. You know, it's a long season. No one's 100% healthy. Everyone's tired. It's you know, you're going out there going to war every Sunday and got to do it again in a week. So it's part of the game. I just try to focus on controlling what I can control, which is what I've been doing.
The game, Will, against Tampa was probably your toughest so far. Anything in particular or maybe one or two things that you felt that you learned in that game that'll help you moving forward?
Yeah, I think just understanding the flow of the game and kind of what to expect as the game goes on. Like certain situations where maybe schematically we expected them to maybe be doing a couple different things, but as we got going, we saw that it was changing and that mentality was changing. So, you know, we talked as a team about how we as players got to do a better job as adapting, and, you know, coaches like getting on us to let us know how this flow of the game's going, what to expect in certain situations, and how we can kind of just have our ears tied back for those types of things.
Josh Allen, when he came back to campus, maybe, and what's it like facing a guy like that?
Yeah, he's a heck of a dude. He came and spoke to us our senior year at Kentucky, just going through, you know, his whole journey, how he's gotten to where he's been, and he's a heck of a person, and a heck of a player as well. So excited to, you know, see him afterwards, hopefully. But we got to definitely take care of him because he's a dude.
Players and coaches always talk about plays you'd like to have back. In a typical game, when you go back and watch the film, about how many of those are there?
There's always going to be some. There, I mean, whether it's, you know, operationally with getting either protection or mic points more cleaned up so that we can get, you know, ourselves off to a better jump with a play, or just throws that, you know, missed decision-wise. So I can't point to a specific amount, but try to limit those, obviously, and you can kind of judge how the game went based on the number of, you know, those ones that you can kind of go back and tick.
No, you want to go to...
Go ahead, kind of an obvious question, Will, but what would it... win on Sunday, first road win against a division rival that's leading your division. What could a win do on Sunday to galvanize this team going forward?
For sure. I mean, it's a big one. We talked about today, it's only our second division game. So, I mean, we still got all these division games left. And as far as we see it, it's still wide open. We got to take it one day, one game at a time. And it's a big one for sure. But as long as we just focus on our keys and what we can do individually to make those keys come to life, that's all we can really focus on, hopefully leaving Jacksonville with a dub on Sunday.
You know, you talked about wanting to go where a guy's open and everything, but heading into a game, you have a feel for how much you'd like to get the ball to DeAndre, how much the plan features DeAndre. You come out of a game when you aren't able to get it to him, disappointed in not being able to do so?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about self-scout, I think, like the ways that we have gotten him the ball and how we, you know, see to get it to him in the future in different ways. So whether it's doing some of the same stuff that we've been doing to get him the ball or giving him different looks to get him the ball in ways that, you know, people might not expect. So the coach has been on a great job scheming up some things for him, and we got to continue doing that going forward because we got to feed him the ball for sure.
Obviously worked behind a different looking group of offensive linemen, first couple of stars. It's going to look different on Sunday as well. How does that impact you, or how can you help that group settle in?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be a leader. My leadership role's got to step up. I got to instill confidence in these guys, and regardless of who it is, whatever five is up there, that they know that, you know, I got my full trust in them, and that they got to know that, or I have to know that they know that they know what they're doing as a unit. So we're working this week to have all those guys who could potentially be thrown in there, like, just have that confidence within themselves. And I got to do a better job as a leader just to keep bringing them along.
Is it your legs more something you want to start incorporating into your game, or are you kind of satisfied with how you've been able to use your athletes?
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely feel like I can use my legs more when it sees fit. That's part of the self-scout and going back and seeing, like, when I could have maybe – escaped or where the lanes are, and that's just a continuation of feeling out what's going to be best for us in the game plan and what I need to do in certain situations to put the ball in play and make things happen.
We talked to Kyle Phillips on Monday, and he explained how sometimes he has to cut his routes short. With the routes he runs, a lot of spot throws for you. How do you guys get on the same page and have that understanding, when that's going to happen?
I mean, that's just ball. That's just going out there and playing ball and feeling space. And, we talk about having the stagnant, lines and numbers on piece of paper on when we draw the play. But when you bring it to life, depending on all the bullets flying, it could be different. And we can't predict exactly what the route's going to look like. And as long as we have a good feel for the timing and the space of the route, that's what I feel like we've done a good job of, even if it is a little shorter or deeper, continuing to just get guys in the right spots where we find those voids to be in the defense.
Well, you guys will in the early game going deep quite a bit. Have you seen maybe defenses a little bit more prepared for some of your deep shots in the last game or two than maybe that first one?
Yeah, I mean, we try not to expect or predict anything. You got to read it true. DBs, safeties, they're taught differently throughout the league and based on the different, route combinations that they're seeing, when they're going to be cutting it or when they're going to be keeping high. So we got to do as good a job as we can to just have our receivers be attacking in a way that they don't know what to do. And then it's just on me to react and see when those opportunities arise, when to take the deep shot, when to check it down.
Well, you talked about trying to got to be a leader. Have you found leadership to be different as a rookie at this level from what it was in college, or do some of those lessons carry over even, if you're only a few starts in?
I think a lot of the lessons, carry over, which, at the very least, if you want to be a good leader, you got to be someone who leads by example and works hard and does the right things and is able to be someone that people can come to and ask questions to. So I think that part of it, being able to have a full grasp in the offense and really go to each position group and let them know that I know kind of what's going on, the ins and outs, I can do a better job of that. So just as my football knowledge increases and my knowledge of the offense in general, I look forward to being more involved in that respect. But other than that, different ranges of ages, obviously, and just types of dudes. So you're just feeling out for who they are as people and what gets through to them best. So that's probably the biggest difference, I'd say.
What has always been so successful for you when it comes to this sort of that sort?
I feel like in everything that I've done, I've always just wanted to be at the forefront in the driving seat because, I think I got that just innate ability to bring others with me and just and do the right thing. And, it's a tough job to have, but I like having the tough jobs. So just kind of how I'm wired, I guess, and I got to keep finding ways to be a better leader.
You mentioned in the AFC South, kind of running division games that's coming up. What have people told you about what to expect in those type of games? Or maybe what'd you learn maybe in preparation for even the Colts back in early this season?
They're going to come at you. I mean, that was definitely our most physical game I think we played this year. And I think it's just because, there is that, whether it's, animosity or just competitiveness between the people in the division. We know how much all those games count. Obviously, every game is going to be a bloodbath, but it just seems like for those division games, you got to step up and bring your best to the table or else you're going to get kicked in the mouth. So we expect that in all of our games, but especially within these divisional opponents.
How much have you found things to kind of be magnified more down in the red zone in your first three starts? It just seems like that this team has had red zone problems, and obviously that's you got to get touchdowns down there, but with the struggles this team has had, it just seems like things have been magnified. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, no, that's tough. You can't expect to have a successful team if you can't go down there and score points in the red zone. So that's been an area of focus for us. I think even on top of that, putting ourselves in positions in the red zone to be able to use the playbook in a way that's a little bit more advantageous for us, and that goes for the whole field, just with being more efficient on first and second down. But we talked about it going through the film, those are huge reps for me down there in the red zone, having to know that everything happens faster, that those windows are smaller, that the ball location is that much more important. A couple throws that I had in the last game that down in the red zone that we could have changed the pace of the game. So understanding that and knowing the types of balls, types of decisions that need to be made.
All right, there you go. That was Titans quarterback Will Levis. We will react to that with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton the Clock. It is our favorite time of the week. It is Hutton the Clock. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us. And hey, also make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 12 of college football and week 11 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jonathan Hutton, always appreciate our weekly visits with you. Want to go back to the game in Tampa Bay and even back to the game in Pittsburgh. Will Levis has been under almost constant duress over the past 2 weeks. He was hit 13 times this past week. And Willie, you just mentioned that Levis is the 15th most hit quarterback in the league through three games.
Well, I didn't. I caught the stat. The guys had a good discussion on it this morning. I didn't. I was driving along in the car, so I didn't write it down or anything. But the gist of it was he's only played the three games, but he's already moved up very high in times being hit relative to everybody that's played. Most of these guys have played seven or eight games,
right?
You know, and a lot of times more.
Yeah. So, but my question for you is, what can Tim Kelly do? What can the Titans' offense do to, or can they do anything to give Will Levis just a little bit more protection?
Yeah, and that's a great stat because I think we'd all agree that part of this is just the rookie part of the quarterback process. I don't think it's all on one specific area. Levis probably has something to do with it as well. But that's alarming because Tannehill is getting hit too. I think they need more run success. They need more. What we saw against Atlanta, where it was a complement of play action, success throwing down the field, intermediate routes. The offensive line is bad. But on first down, they're not getting into a second and manageable situation all that often. And this past weekend is a prime example because on this past Sunday, they faced seven different instances of third and 10 plus. That's a season high for this offense. And through the first 6 weeks, they were seventh in the NFL on first downs that were gained off of first down. And that was a key to their success. If they weren't having success on first down, they weren't having success. Now they're getting blown up. And I think, especially with the rookies, the defensive coordinators or defensive-minded head coaches, they're going to bring the heat. And right now, Levis is 17 of 37 passing on first down. Tannehill was 37 of 57. So I think that molds into its second and third and predictable. And on top of that, I'm not just picking on Levis here, the offensive line isn't going to hold up. And they're also not helping run the football either. And they have there are only three teams that have fewer first downs on first down yardage than the Titans after 6 weeks of football. So they've got to find a way to not fall behind the sticks, not on the scoreboard, just the sticks. Because, I mean, second and third down for a rookie quarterback in a passing situation is detrimental, to say the least. And on play action, it's not working. Tampa didn't budge off the play action. Atlanta did, for instance. And I don't think defenses going forward are going to do that either. So, it's a combination of things, but it's not a good stat, and I don't see it improving based on all the different decisions they have to make and all the different changes they're making in game, either due to injury or poor performance. And that's not a good remedy for what needs to happen. Because again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. They've got to run the football in order to help the quarterback. They're not doing that at really any part of the field. There's no explosion in that area.
So here's the stat, and my thanks to the personal texter that hooked me up with this based on the discussion this morning. Will Levis has been hit in his three starts 25 times. So that ranks 14th in the league. Every other person in the top 15 has started at least eight games. So
wow.
If you do the percentage, I mean the percentage of times. So they have pressure percentage is another stat here. He's being pressured on a third of his dropbacks, basically 33% of the time. So even amongst that group, that's way higher than even the guys that are getting hit the most. So they've got to get that. They've got to get that number down one way or the other.
Whether it's
not going to last. Nobody could last.
Nobody could last.
And as you mentioned, Hutt, some of it can be under his control. Like, I used to admire, like, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, some of those guys, even Tom Brady, right? Sometimes you feel the pressure, and it's just like, you know what? I'm throwing it away. They know how to do it. You know, there's a way to do it, right? You can't just throw it up for grabs. But they were so good at, like, you would get excited. Oh, they might actually sack Peyton Manning or Dan Marino. Nope, they're just getting rid of it. They just chuck it. You can't even hit them.
No, and if you look at there was a stat out on social yesterday, the day before, about quarterbacks in 2023 that extend the play under pressure, and it's based on 100 dropbacks or whatever they're using this method. And you know, some of the best in the league are who you would expect. You know, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen. But at the very end of it is Will Levis, Aiden O'Connell, and then there's Kirk Cousins. So, if Aiden O'Connell doesn't surprise me, Will Levis doesn't either. But right in front of Will Levis was Ryan Tannehill. So they were both bad, and it comes down to a combination of things. But number one is the O-line. That has been such a crucial piece to last offseason that they failed on, and it's coming back to bite them just like it did the last couple of years.
Hutton, what is there enough that the Titans can do in this offseason? Because right now, where it stands with the offensive line, is not getting much better. Nobody else is walking through that door.
Right.
But looking ahead to next year, which I think is a fair thing to do, sitting at 3-6, is there enough time? Are there enough assets? Do you have enough resources in the offseason to really improve this offensive line as much as the Titans need it to?
Caroline, it comes down to this. The resources are with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. Are they going to get the right – are they going to make the right decisions? Because they have the money. They have the cap space. They will have high picks they can get right. So, yes, they will have the resources to find guys that can come in and start. I think – The big issue, it starts with the missed picks. It starts with the missed players that they've signed and brought in to start this year and in past years, or guys who they drafted to not start. And it's few and far between on guys that come in and immediately just are ready to go within the lineup. And that's the issue. Can they find those guys, address and point to who they want and why, and have those guys come in and be ready to go? And That's what you have to count on, and or what you can't count on, and what they have to prove, because that's the difference between getting a head start on what is going to be a big rebuild, where it's quicker right now for us to list the positions where they don't need an overhaul than where they do, and if it's going to be a long and drawn out process, because the biggest check mark they can do over these final eight games is to make sure that Will Levis is the guy, or at least the guy that they're putting their chips behind and saying, we're in with him. Because, and I think all four of us and our listeners will maybe, you know, half laugh, half cry at this, but wouldn't it be typical Titans to trade up and draft Will Levis in the second round and then be bad enough to have a top five pick and then pass on one of these quarterbacks in this draft this year because you traded up for Will Levis?
You'd almost have
and
to trade
those
back.
Guys, yeah, exactly. Or pass or trade back.
Yeah.
And my point being, they would be in position now to go get the quarterback. They would be in the quarterback draft discussion now. And they were last year too, but for different circumstances. If they have figured out by the end of the season that Levis is the investment, because right now I think there's no question he's the investment. They've got to stick behind him, and they have. Are they going to be certain of that? Because we knew they weren't certain of that with Willis, and I think they've got to go in the offseason knowing that that's a check mark on the must-haves of the offseason. And if they get that position checked off before the offseason begins, that is a huge benefit on how they address the other spots. And then it's about them just getting those spots corrected and making the right choices on who they bring in.
Hud, I think there's I'm sure there are people within that building that have watched Will Levis over the last three games, going into four now, considering, you know, what's in front of him, how that roster looks offensively. They think, okay, he is the guy. We've seen enough in him. Poise alone, we've seen enough in him to say, okay, no matter how this season goes, we know what we need to do moving forward. The quarterback is a check for us right now. Even if, you know, they're still going through that process during next season, you feel the quarterback is the check, because to me, they have to, and this is a conversation for the offseason, they have to find a way to build first that offensive line back up and then add more pass catchers for this young quarterback, because that's the way the league's going. But I do want to ask you about the red zone woes. And I, you know,
I like your name for it better.
The red zone woes.
The RZ Dubs.
No, the allergy zone.
Yeah, the allergy. They're allergic. It's the peanut zone. They're allergic to that area. But what I'm starting to realize with this team, I don't think it has, because I'm not going to make the excuse that the league is down across the board, because they are. But when you don't have the ability to run the football inside of the red zone, now you play right into the defense and what they want to do. They want you to pass in the red zone. Why? Because the 12th man is the back of the line, and they know that you can only go so far. Our safeties can play the run and the pass because now we're in the red zone. The Titans got to figure out a way, and it might just be, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do no matter what. They got to find a way to run the ball in the red zone. And then I think that will open up a bit of what they can do in the pass game. Because right now, it seems like they haven't even really committed to running the ball inside of the red zone.
You know, and so if the NFL's down, and they are, scoring's way down, it would be like, so the NFL average in the red zone since the Indianapolis game for the Titans is 16 red zone touchdowns. So just doing the math there, going back to that game to now. So if that's the average, if that's the C-plus grade, and that's down, right? The Titans would be the kid in the classroom that has such a bad grade that the teacher will grade on a curve for the rest of the class. Mm. Like they have 9 red zone touchdowns since then, and the NFL average is 16. So yes, I think they've got to. The run game just isn't a threat anywhere on the field, as far as the backbreaker type threat. And they're 31st in the red zone in touchdowns and in red zone touchdown percentage. I mean, that's been really bad. And this has been a team that's been really good in that area. So you know that's awful. 4 of 15 on red zone chances since the Colts game. Like they can't find points even when they're close to getting points. And if you think about the options for the Titans in the passing game, few and far between, because even the top options, some of them are dropping passes. Burks, when healthy, is dropping passes. Chigakonkwo, others. And then, you know, the big red zone threat throughout his career has been DeAndre Hopkins. But tighter coverage, they can take him away if no one else is going to be a threat. And then, again, the biggest threat should be Derrick Henry. But now they've got Spears in there, and that hasn't been a threat either in the red zone. So I'm with you. But the Titans, to me, Mace, they've got to hit on the big splash plays off of play action. And they, in order to run in the red zone, they need to be able to run in between in between the 20s. And they're not doing that on a consistent basis either.
Now, would you put that on – who do you put that on? Obviously, listen, the easy and low-cut, low-hanging fruit is the offensive line. But there has to be – it can't be just that simple to say it's the offensive line, even though – it seems to be the offensive line. It seems like it can't be just that simple.
Well, I think it's just easy to defend the Titans offense. Mm-hmm. And offensive line. So gap assign, like the defense against the run. And they were, you know, fine against Tampa, but defense against the run, gap assignments haven't changed in 100 years of the sport. So that's just about man on man and winning in the trenches. And I think it does. It starts there, up and down the field for this team. And after that, Henry in the red zone, Henry in between the 20s, he's not taking on two guys as much and breaking through those runs. This past weekend, he's getting tripped up at the ankle, for instance, by one of those tackles. But there's also instances where he's just getting hit the line of scrimmage. And I think also a lot of things play a factor into this, Mace. Penalties, sacks that put them into a second or third and long situation, even in not inside the 10, but inside the 20 to the 10. Mm-hmm. That's detrimental to them. And another part of it, too, is right now the head coach who has been known to try to end the game as quick as possible. That's why they went for two, for instance, in London against the Chargers a couple years back. He's looking for the quickest way to victory. He is now settling for field goals instead of the quickest way to victory. And I think that is also something to raise an eyebrow at, because even Vrabel is admitting by making those choices, they're not going to get in the end zone for a variety of issues. And they'd rather go with the reliable kicker than allowing someone to step up and make a play in a big moment. And he's looking for points. He's trying to keep the game within reach and help for a big play. But when it's time to go for it and put it in the end zone, normally in those situations, they're going with a handoff, maybe three straight, or they're going with the kicker when it's fourth down and short. And that's also indicative of, I think, from the offensive line all the way around.
I was, when it was 17-3 and they had a fourth and goal from, it wasn't from the three, you know, it was from the 8 or the 9 or something like that. And they just ran the kicking unit out there, and I was thinking,
I know.
That tells you a lot. Like, I was thinking mathematically, and that's not Willie, the play, but it was just sort of a, I don't want to get my quarterback killed, and I don't think we can get it in there.
Willie, that's just not with Levis. He did that in week one. He's been doing that all season. He did that in week one in New Orleans as well.
Yep. He did.
And that tells you what faith he has in this offense versus his own belief, because throughout his entire tenure here, it is about trying to put the game away and win the game fast as possible on the scoreboard.
And the one time he didn't do it was at the end of the half against Cleveland, and he would probably show us that play as to why he's been going the other way, right? When Miles Garrett sacked Tannehill, they didn't have any timeouts, and everybody's like, they should have kicked the field goal, you know? So you understand the problem, right? They have problems. There's reasons why he's doing that. And so given that, Hutt, they had a good discussion this morning on our morning show about, you know, how much, given the fact how many times Levis is getting hit, how do you call the game with the big picture in mind, right? Do you have to play with the fear that, oh, man, if he keeps getting hit, he's going to get hurt? Or do you just have to put all that aside and say, you know, we're trying to win, and a good quarterback will figure out a way to survive?
I go with the latter. I mean, how can you develop the quarterback with having the fear that he's going to get lit up? I mean, to me, the one area that hasn't been addressed is where is the talk about the faith that the coaches are going to come up with a scheme to help their quarterback? And it's not all on one area. It's not because, oh, no one's talking about Vrabel, so let's mention Vrabel. It's just the idea that, oh, here we are in week 11. The offensive line sucks again. And it's about whether or not Levis should be in there to get, they can tee off on them or not. And it's like, for instance, Jacksonville has 18 sacks. This is a defensive front that, you can't get whipped by them upcoming. And this is an issue that is ongoing from a variety of levels. But at the same point, guys can't drop passes. You can't have missed assignments. The communication on the offensive line has been bad. It just missed opportunities. All of that has to come together in order for Levis to really start to grow and develop into not just a quarterback, but a leader going into the offseason. And you can't do that by playing scared and thinking, well, he's going to get lit up and this is going to be they're going to ruin him. I don't think the mental aspect of Levis is at stake. I think the physical injury aspect is, but behind this group, that would be with any quarterback. We've seen that the last 2 years with Ryan Tannehill. I I wouldn't approach it with a, you know, tiptoe in and, oh, this is so bad, we're gonna put Malik Willis in there. No, I mean, it would be bad regardless of who you're playing. And this guy needs to play. The time is now.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
Yep. Always enjoy this, guys. You have a great rest of the week.
Yeah, you too, Hut. Appreciate it. All right, coming up next, we will react to what Hutton had to say, what we heard from Vrabel and from Will Levis. And one of my questions, the issues that the Titans are facing right now, how many of them can they fix now? Or are they all offseason problems? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. You can see your Predators star players up close and personal, get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Preds goalies Kevin Lankinen and UC Soros. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company.